Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, Sister Janet's going to come, and she's going to address you for a few minutes. She's going to talk about the practical side of the Daniel's fast, and then she's going to get into some things that I think I'm glad that she's going to give it to you like I wrote it, so hopefully it'll... No, I'm joking. She wrote it, and it's pretty amazing. I wished I would have come up with it. It's really good material. So, and then I got a compliment on your Bible study last night. They said you did awesome. I said, well, I'm glad she... said it like I wrote that one.
That's all right. But, I learned from the best.
Yeah, but Janet, she's an amazing lady, and she's a wonderful speaker, and you're going to be enriched tonight. And then I'll wrap it up when she's done, all right? Would you welcome my sweet honey?
Let's give that glory to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your blessings, God, for being here with us. Amen. You can be seated. Normally, every year we kind of have a specific way that Pastor and I do the Wednesday night before Daniel's fast. And last year, we just felt a shift in our spirit that we needed to do something a little different. And so we began praying and fasting about that to see where that the Lord would have us take our service before we begin our Daniel's fast. And so in our prayer and fasting and studying the word of the Lord, God gave me a revelation that I'm going to share with you tonight. So it's going to be very different than what we've ever done and what we've talked about for prayer and fasting. But because it is the word of the Lord, I know that it's going to be a blessing to you. I don't know if you've realized, but 2020 will be the only time in our lifetime that we experience a year of double digits. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Because none of us, most likely, I mean, we may, Huxley may, Hadley may be alive in 100 years, but for the most part, probably the rest of us are not going to be alive for 2121, right? And so that's pretty cool. We do thank you for joining us tonight. I know that there are a lot of people out, and we're thankful that you're here and that you're ready to learn about prayer and fasting, and that you seem to kind of be in a good attitude about it, so I sure am thankful for that. I know whenever we start talking about fasting, and normally we start talking about it right before Thanksgiving, and we're kind of like, oh, fasting, but it's just our humanness. We know that we get spiritual reward from it. So I'm going to share with you a little humor. Pastor likes humor, so I'm going to share with you a little humor. A man was coming out of the church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door to shake hands. The preacher grabbed the man by the hand and pulled him aside. Then the preacher said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." The man replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, preacher." The preacher questioned, "Then how come you only attend at Christmas and Easter?" The man whispered back, "Because I'm in the Secret Service." Well, I'm sure we have a few Secret Service members here, but we want you full-time members. So I'm just going to go over a few practical things to remember to prepare for the Daniel fast, and then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord. So it's important that you plan your menus and your grocery shopping ahead of time. You'll be better off if you do that. You're not going to want to be going through the grocery store looking at all the goodies to eat whenever you can only eat just certain things. Talk to your friends and share recipes. See what they're doing. Drink plenty of water. Get light exercise. Make sure you get outside and get the sunshine. Make sure you rest your body and your mind. You're going to feel weak and hungry. If you don't, then you're not fasting. That's right, Sister Foster. Pastor and I, we had a friend one time, and he said, "I've been on a 20-day fast, and I gained 20 pounds." And Pastor and I looked at each other, and we said, "He wasn't on the fast we've ever been on. We've never been on a 20-day fast and gained 20 pounds." We ask that you not only fast food, but that you fast something in addition to it. So you fast extracurricular activity, media, social media, Facebook, any of those type of things, shopping, anything like Pastor said earlier that you can give up, that you do that. Pastor already said that our Daniel's fast is strict. You can go online and find all kind of things, but we adhere to a strict fast. And we try to get it as close to the way Daniel actually fasted. And you can find all of that in the brochure that or the trifle that Pastor talked about. That's where the details of the Daniel fasting are, and they are at our coffee cafe. So we want you to join in with us. Begin the new year in prayer and fasting together. So now, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And you may want to stay open to Hebrews chapter 4 while I'm talking tonight, because we are going to make reference to many of the verses in that chapter. We're going to start out in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 9. So verse 9 reads, "There remaineth therefore," and we're reading from the King James Version, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his." Verse 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, I'm going to try and stick to my notes because my Bible study group, I just kind of had my Bible and just went off on what the Lord had put in my spirit several months ago. And I am telling you, I talked nonstop about the Word of God for about an hour and 10 minutes. So Pastor has given me a short amount of time, so I'm going to stay with my notes. So if you see me reading my notes, it's because I'm doing my best to stay exactly to what I need to say. Most of the time, we equate the word rest to the physical term of just not doing anything physical for the day. In Hebrews, though, we find rest is both a noun and a verb, and that it does have theological meaning. Rest means to stop, rest means freedom from, and rest means to have peace in God. So rest is both a noun and a verb. Now, let's go back to the beginning of chapter 4 in Hebrews, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." In Hebrews chapter 4, we see that Hebrews chapter 4 is comparing the Israelites to the Christians of the new church. God had promised the Israelites the promised land. He promised them that when they entered the promised land, they would enter into a rest. They were promised a land in which they were to enjoy prosperity and long life. Unfortunately, the promise was of no value to the original generation of Israelites. Since they did not receive it with faith, their unbelief led them to death instead of a land of promise. So it is with us today. We are given a promise. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. "There remains a rest to the people of God." Today, we live under the provisions of the new covenant. As believers, we enter into God's rest by ceasing from any work intended to earn favor with God or merit salvation. We see in verse 3, "The works were finished from the foundation of the world." Our pastor has already been preaching on this during most of the latter part of this year. God has already done the work. He is seated on the throne. He finished the work of creation at the beginning of time, and he finished the work of our salvation on the cross when he said, "It is finished, the work is complete." So what does it mean in chapter 4 and verse 11? "Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. The phrase, let us labor, is focusing us toward diligent behavior and leading us to believe that the rest promised us by the new covenant is not obtained by our good works, but that the author's point is that it is worth doing whatever God requires to enter the rest at the new covenant. But that requirement is not works. That requirement is faith. So what does it mean, labor to rest? That's an oxymoron. How can I labor to rest? The Israelites fought in the carnal flesh against 32 kings to get their promise. We do not fight carnally, as the Israelites did. We fight a spiritual warfare. So let's answer the questions. If it's already done, then why do I need to fight? And how do I labor to rest? We are fighting our flesh so that we can obtain rest in the spirit. Pastor has given the illustration many a times. There's the electric company, and there's my home. And there's a conduit that runs from the electric company to my home. But I must take action to turn on the light switch to receive the electricity. I must pay the bill every month to receive the electricity. And still sometimes there's a disconnect. So I've got to pick up the phone and say, there's a disconnect in my line somewhere. I don't have any electricity, right? But so it is the same with us. We must connect to Christ on a daily basis. I do not enter God's rest just by hearing the word of God. Look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's more than just hearing the word of God. I must take the word of God and combine my faith to it to enter in to God's rest. So how do I do this? I labor through prayer. I labor through fasting. I labor through reading and studying the word of God. I labor as I align myself to God's word so that I can receive what is mine. So how do I do this? I labor continually to be putting myself in alignment to God. God, what do you have for me this day? Fasting doesn't change God's mind. It doesn't change his word. Fasting and prayer and studying his word helps me to submit my flesh so that I can walk in faith to align myself to his word to receive from the spiritual into the natural all that he has promised me. God has already done the work for us. But we must labor in fighting the flesh because my carnal fleshly man is the disconnect. We must connect ourselves to God. And the way we continually connect our spiritual self is through prayer and fasting, through obedience of his word, through denial to the flesh, through submission to his will, through studying the word of God so we know God better. The more I know about God, the more I will love God. Through studying. So I begin through studying the word of God so we know God better. And the more I know, the more I love him. So then I begin my prayer with, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done upon the earth as you have already willed it in heaven. Not my will, but your will, O Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. God's rest is entered into by faith. I cannot build my faith just by hearing the word of God. I must build my faith in prayer, in fasting, and in studying the word of God. It's just like a baby. The baby begins with milk, and then it goes to soft food, and then it goes to solid food. The baby is a baby, and then it's a toddler, and then it reaches childhood, and then it enters school. A baby learns to crawl, and then it learns to walk. We expect our faith to grow just by being faithful to church, just by paying our tithes, just by helping out sometime, and just by hearing the preached word of God. But that's not biblical. We must pair our hearing the word of God with action. The action to reading and studying God's word so that I strengthen my faith. The more I know, the more I believe. The more I know about God, the more I trust God. The stronger my faith becomes. Faith is not passive. Faith is action. Faith says, I know the work has already been done. I was healed at Calvary. So today I rest because my faith says I'm healed. You ever wonder why pastor's so spiritual? Because he studies the word of God, because he prays and he fasts. If we want to be more spiritual, if we want to draw closer, if we want our faith strengthened, then we too, as children of God, every child of God must be praying and fasting and studying the word of God. It is a requirement to know who he is and what he wants for me to do in my life. Faith says, because I entered into the new covenant with Christ by taking on his name and being filled with his spirit, the finished work was done at Calvary, and I can rest because my faith says I'm saved. Faith says I do not need to worry about tomorrow because God has already done the work. I can rest in knowing because my faith says he is faithful always to supply all of my needs, not all of my wants, but all of my needs according to his riches in heaven. So why do we need to fast and pray and study? We fast and pray to get our will under subjection to his will. We fast and pray and study to strengthen our faith that we may enter into the rest God has promised us in this life. Why do we fast and pray and study? So we receive revelation of his word. So now let's look at verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Faith will lead me to the rest God has promised me, but I must study his word so that faith begins to expose my weaknesses through his word. I must get into his word through study of his word so that faith begins to act in my life. Faith then through his word begins to equip me with the knowledge of his word for my life, for your life. And then faith empowers me with the revelation and the demonstration of his word in my life every day. I don't just get this through the preached word of God. It is God's command that our pastor feed us, but it is our responsibility to mature ourselves in Christ and to strengthen our own faith. It's not pastor's responsibility. It is our responsibility. James 1 and 23 says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be you doers of the word also. How can I be a doer of the word if I am not studying to know what all I must do? The Israelites heard the preached word of God, Hebrews said, but they do not pair it with faith. So that generation did not enter into the rest God had promised them. If you don't know how to study the word of God, we are asking you to begin, and they're going to put up tools that I'm going to give you. Begin with one of these three Bible studies. Exploring God's Word and the Bible Made Simple. You can find those at the Pentecostal Publishing House. You can also look on Amazon or the web and get the 12 Bible Study Methods by Rick Warren. You just have to start. You have to start somewhere. It's not hard studying the Word of God. You take out a verse and you begin to read it. Begin to look up in the dictionary every word that's in that verse. Write down what the definition of those words are, and you'll find a greater meaning. Pray upon it. Meditate upon it. God, what are you trying to show me from this verse? Verse 1 of Hebrews says, fear lest you also fall short. And verse 6 says, do not be like the Israelites who had unbelief in their heart and so could not enter into God's rest. We must strengthen our faith by praying God's will to be done in our life. We must strengthen our faith by fasting and focusing our carnal man toward the things of God. And we must strengthen our faith by studying God's word so there is no disconnect, there is no belief, unbelief between me and God, so that we may enter into the rest God has promised us on this earth. Then we can rest because healing is ours. Salvation is ours. Freedom is ours. Peace is ours. Every promise that he's written in his book is ours. Abundant life is ours. We can rest because we know he holds all things in his hands. We don't have to have the answers to life because he already holds all of the answers. We don't have to struggle to find out what is the plan. We labor to get self into alignment with God so that we can rest in all that he has for us. So what if I don't get my healing or my answer, or life brings me tragedy, or stressful situations happen? Then I keep strengthening my faith through prayer, through fasting, and through studying his word. I keep aligning myself to his will. We don't fast to get what we want. We fast to slow our body, our soul, and our mind down so that we may enter into the rest Christ has promised us. We fast that we may see more clearly the rest he has promised us in his word. So tonight, we challenge you to join us on this Daniel's fast as we fast and pray and study so that we may enter into God's rest. Don't fret about the Daniel's fast. Begin the week of Daniel's fasting with prayer and study, expecting to receive and expecting to enter into God's rest and receive all that he has for you this year, the year of rest. I love y'all. Lord bless you and thank you for your time.
Amen. Well, how many of you have a friend that you just love to talk to? Let me see your hand. Like when you call them on the phone, it's just so easy to talk to them. Let me see your hand. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you love to talk to the Lord? Yeah, because here's the deal. If we love to pick up the phone and talk to a friend of ours because we can just have that conversation with them about anything, then here's the question. If you don't love talking to the Lord, what does that say about our relationship? Can I get a witness? It says something. If we don't love to pray and talk to the Lord, then it says something. There's a disconnect somewhere in that relationship, because every one of you raised your hands and say, I have someone that I love talking to. Why? Because you have a relationship with them. Because you enjoy fellowshipping with them. And it should be the same way with the Lord. You should not go into your prayer and stand up straight and cross your heart and say, Thou most holy heavenly Father, I come unto thee in the year of 2020. That's crazy. No, you don't have to get in a King James voice or language to talk to God. God just wants you to be who you are, come as you are, however you are. He accepts you. Can I tell you again, God doesn't love you unconditionally with conditions. He loves you unconditionally, and you can come in your mess. You can come in your mistakes. You can come in your frustrations. You can come in your fears. And guess what? He's a heavenly Father. He understands all that. He gets all that. It doesn't freak him out. There is nothing you've ever done that shocked God. Can I say it again? I'm telling you, there's nothing you and I have ever done that God was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. He saw it coming before you even did it. He knew what was going on. Prayer, brothers and sisters, is about a relationship with God. If you say, I don't know how to pray, you know what? Then learn how to talk to God just like you would talk to that friend you were thinking about when you raised your hand and said, I have a friend I love to talk to. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. We have been taught to believe that prayer is about persuading God to release his power. Right. That's what we've been taught. That's what I was taught. I was basically taught that prayer is about us persuading God to release His power. Here's what else I was taught. I was taught that prayer is an opportunity to convince God to move. Here's my thoughts about that. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm not knocking it down. Here's what I want to just bring to you. In order for somebody to move, it means that they need to get somewhere, right? So if I need to move, I need to get somewhere. Or if I need to move, I need to get something. Do you agree with that? Well, here's, I know what we're meaning. I know what we're trying to say when we say, well, I need God to move. I get what we're trying to say. But the fact of the matter is God doesn't need to move anywhere because He is everywhere. Amen. Do you agree? So since God doesn't need to move and He's everywhere, then prayer is really not about trying to get God to move. Correct? The next thing is since God doesn't need anything because He's all self-sufficient, He needs nothing outside of Himself, then God doesn't need to move to go get something, as we would need to move from one room to another to go get something. He doesn't need to move. Do you agree with that? So then, consequently, I understand what we say when we say we need a move of God. The proper language is we want God to manifest Himself, because God doesn't need to move, because wherever you go, the presence of the Lord is there. Whatever you have need of, He doesn't have to go and get it. He already has it. Do you agree with that? So when we talk about we need a move of God, what we really should say is we want the manifestation of what God already has for His people, because He's already done it. Here's another thing that we've been taught. And again, I'm not dogging or knocking anyone. Don't get that. We believe, here's what we've been taught. We believe that God can heal and that God can save and that God can deliver, but He is really waiting on us to shape up and earn it. And the reason why He hasn't healed us is because we haven't shaped up enough to earn His healing. And the reason why He hasn't done this is because maybe we haven't gotten to exactly where He wants us to be so that we can get that. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we will never deserve the goodness of God. Amen. Can I get a witness? It doesn't matter if you live in the church. You can never be good enough to measure yourself next to the holiness of God. So none of us will ever deserve anything that the Lord does for us. Whatever we receive, it is received by the grace through faith and not that of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Okay, because it's all about what Jesus did. It's not about what we've done. Remember, brothers and sisters, He's the star of the show. He will always be the star of the show. He was the star of the show since the creation of time. He's going to be that long after we walk off the stage. It's not about what we've done. It's about what He's done for us. He's the star of the show. So we don't have to pray to get Him to move, because He already went to the whipping post and took 39 stripes on His back to heal you. We don't have to come to God and get Him to move to save your loved ones, because He went to Calvary and to shed His blood so that they could be saved. The reason why people are not being saved is because, not because God doesn't want them saved, it's because they haven't seen their need for salvation. Because God already paid the ultimate price to heal them, to save them, to deliver them. In fact, in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, it says that God has given us all, everybody say all spiritual blessings. That means has is past tense. That means He's already healed us. He's already saved. He's already forgiven sins. Now, some people have a problem with that, but listen, you need to think about it. If God hasn't already forgiven sins, already healed, and already saved, then when is He going to do it? When is He going to do it if He hadn't already done it? When He said it's finished, He meant it. It's finished. Now, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean just because he's already purchased it that everybody has received it. Just because he's already forgiven past, present, and future sins doesn't mean that everyone's already forgiven of their sins. Just because he's purchased salvation doesn't mean that everyone is saved. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. You can have bought a gift, but if you don't give the gift, you still have it, right? Even though you've bought it. So a gift is not given until it's received. Do you agree with that? So he's already purchased it, right? But until you receive it for yourself as an individual, then you don't get to partake of the benefits of what he's already done. So now we come and we want to explain something. So then, Pastor, if it is already done, then why am I putting myself through this torment of fasting? Okay. If it's already done, then why do I need to fast? Because it's like Sister Janet said, here's the power company, here's your house. The power's already there, right? Here's your house. But here's the disconnect, it's called the flesh. Do you agree? And so the flesh is the disconnect from God to you. It's called the flesh. So then what we do is we come. And let's do typology here, okay? You with me? In the Old Testament, they laid flesh on the altar. What was it? It was a bullock, a sheep, a ram, right? Okay? That was the flesh they placed on the altar. Now, in the New Testament, we don't place a bull or sheep or lamb on the altar. So what is the flesh that we place on the altar? Our flesh, not literally. Don't go out of here saying, I want you to have a burnt offering and go burn yourself. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about figuratively speaking, we place our flesh on the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord and say, God, as we're fasting, we are placing our flesh on the altar so that we can remove the disconnect from the power source to us, which is faith. Okay? I don't know that this is true, but someone has said that they believe that when they get to heaven, there's going to be a large warehouse in heaven, and it's going to have all kind of blessings on it. And then when you get there, you're going to ask, what was that? And the Lord is going to say, those are all the blessings that you never received that are already purchased. Okay? I already purchased all of it, but you never received it. Why? Because when you ask things, you ask amiss what James says, right? So you're not asking according to the will of God. And then the next thing is flesh is in the way. And when flesh is in the way, it's the disconnect between God and you receiving what you need in the natural. So here it is in the spirit. The flesh is the disconnect, meaning it doesn't get past that. And so then we never receive what we need from the spirit to our natural body. And so this is why we fast. We do not fast to twist God's arm to try to make him do something that he already has done. Does that make sense? Okay. So that is why we fast, brothers and sisters. We fast because, let me tell you this, if you want time to slow down, fast. Because you're going to wish it was 3 o'clock and it's only going to be 9:30. So what does fasting do? Fasting starts to break your flesh down so that your spirit man becomes alive. Okay. This, y'all, the kingdom that we're in is an upside down kingdom. Okay, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by it. In the natural, we feed our body food and water for it to be built up, correct? In the spirit man, we do just the opposite. We fast in order to build our spirit man up. It's upside down, okay? I'm going to say that again. Food and drink in the natural build the body up. In this upside down kingdom, fasting and prayer builds the spirit man up totally opposite. So this is why we're going into a fast. Because what we want to do is we want to remove the disconnect and we want to see what God has for us in 2020. Amen. And do I like fasting? No, I do it often. Okay, I say that in humility. But what I want is things that money can't buy. Okay? Money can buy you food, but it can't buy you favor. Right? Money can't buy the anointing. Money can't buy the power and the glory of God that we want to see fill this house. Okay? I don't even know that, in a sense, money can even deliver the alcoholic or the oppressed. I don't believe it can. It can put them in rehab, but I don't know that it can deliver them. But the power that I'm talking about can deliver the oppressed. It can bring the person out of depression. It can deliver the alcoholic. It can cause the prodigal son and daughter to come back to an altar of repentance. And when you get in this house, you're like, man, I feel the power of God. Why? Why do you feel it? Because there was a sacrifice of somebody's flesh and God honored it and the fire falls. But the fire never falls on an empty altar. We're just another church in the street or on the street with a lot of other churches if we don't have the fire and the fire and the power of the supernatural. Does that make sense? Okay. And I think what we all want, is more than 3 points and a point and sermonettes for Christianettes with hairnets. You'd have to live back in the 70s to understand that. Because back in the 70s, the ladies thought the higher they got their hair, the closer they were to God. I know, because my mama was a hairdresser. And believe this or not, this is totally off base. For those of you that are watching online, just pardon me just a minute, but I can remember my mother would actually put an oatmeal box on the top of a lady's head and build the hair around it. And it's like, if it was up here, she was really close to God. That's being a little comical, but it's closer to the truth than you may think. All right, I have 3 minutes and then I will let you go. If our musicians will come and help me. When we're fasting and praying, I want y'all to hear me. When we're fasting and praying, it is not that we are manipulating God through our works or that we're forcing his hand. Okay? Fasting simply breaks down our flesh and then it brings our faith to a new level. John 10 and 10 says this, but the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to hear this. I believe with all my heart that the devil knows in some ways more than we know. He knows he's defeated. He just don't want you to know it. He knows he's defeated. I told Matt the other day, I said, Matt, if you do a study on Colossians, because we was taking a little trip to the sulfur together. I said, Matt, if you do a study in Colossians, when the Bible talks about that Jesus stripped Satan and made a show of him openly, I said, Matt, do you know what that means? He said, no. I said, here's what it means. It means that in the old times, they would take a king who had been conquered and they would cut his thumbs off because he couldn't hold a sword without thumbs. And they would cut his big toes off because he would be wobbly and could hardly stand without his toes. And then they would strip him naked and they would tie him with chains and they would drag him through the streets. And the people would line the streets and they would laugh and they would mock him. Because they knew that that king could never conquer their city. That king would never terrorize them again. And when you study the book of Colossians and what Jesus is talking about, when Christ stripped Satan at the cross, that's exactly what he's talking about. He stripped Satan. And Satan knows it, but the church hasn't had the revelation of it. Your worst enemy is not Satan. Your worst enemy is yourself. And what fasting helps you to do is to get yourself in alignment to the will of God. See, prayer is your link to heaven. Prayer is your link to heaven. It's your relationship to heaven. And that's why, this is why we pray. It didn't say, give us this day, give us this month our monthly bread. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, we're going to get into this. We've got 3 weeks. We're going to talk about this. We've got a lot to uncover. Let's stand. Thank all of you. Those of you that joined us online, I hope you gained some value from it. Hope you gained a little nugget. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word that Lord Sister Janet brought. That's a great word. And for the next 3 Wednesdays, we're gonna dwell on this. We need to talk about this. We need to make sure that we have an understanding of the purpose and the power of prayer. Lord, the purpose and the power of fasting, and why that we're gonna do this for a week. So Lord, I just thank you for this sweet congregation and those that are maybe just trying to decide, should I do this? Lord, place it in their heart to do it. They're going to see wonderful results. We don't want to drag 2019 into 2020. We don't want to do it. We want to start this year off with fresh vision, with faith and fire and anointing and power and the glory of the Lord filling his temple. So, Lord, I pray that you would just talk to all of us this week about what we need to be giving up and thinking about and removing and purging and detoxing from our life and our mind and our spirit. I just thank you for it. Now, if you receive his word, would you just slip your hands up, slip your head up, and just talk to heaven right now. Talk to the Lord. Just talk to God. God, I want you to talk to me, Lord, this week again. Just in my relationship with you, I want to be able to and be willing to totally mean whatever, whenever, whatever cost to my... Father, I pray that you would just talk...
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC De Quincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.